Okay, we're starting the seventh parak of Kilayim. The first Mishnah deals with the concept of propagation, the idea being that if you bury a pre-existing grapevine under the dirt and leave it long enough, it will sprout new roots, which will allow you in turn to then cut the vine and replant it, you know, plant the cutting elsewhere. So this is, and then of course the question is, what are the halachic ramifications of that, and how does it work? So we'll start with Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Hamavrichas a gefen ba'aretz im ein afar al gaba shoshat tfachim lo yavi zera aleha afilu yiricha bidlat o besilan. So our mission starts by explaining that if someone propagates a grapevine in the ground, if there are not three handbreadths of soil on top of it, right, if there aren't three tfachim worth of soil on top of it, you cannot plant any other seed above it, even if you are propagating it in a gourd or a pipe. Okay, that's the first part of the mission. So again, the idea is you take this grapevine and you bury it under the ground. When it's buried under the ground, the new roots will grow, and then you can clip the vine accordingly. The reason here that it's usher to plant anything above the branch is that there's a fear that the roots of the foreign plant, right, the foreign seed, will penetrate the branch itself, which will result in a forbidden graft. Clearly here the mission is discussing the idea of planting outside the six tfachim work area of the parent vine, right? Remember, anytime you are in the area of a vineyard, it's usher to plant any other foreign seed, irrelevant whether it's over the branch or not. So clearly here we're talking about somebody propagating a branch from a vine that is far removed from the actual area that is considered a vineyard. And the Mishnah goes on to tell us that even if you propagate in a gourd or a earthenware pipe in those situations, you still are not allowed to do it. So it used to be they would, I guess, sort of run the vine through one of these gourds or pipes, and they would do that to direct the branch of the vine. I guess they didn't want it like curling back on itself, or they wanted to really straighten it out. It could be, I guess, that the vine would curl over on itself. So it would use this earthenware pipe or a gourd to straighten out, a dried out gourd to straighten out the branch and keep it running the way you want. Even in a situation like that, then you are not allowed to plant another foreign species over that propagated branch in the pipe or the earthenware tubing, primarily because the roots of the foreign seed are strong enough to penetrate the gourd or earthenware pipe, and therefore you're gonna still have a risk of Kilayim. However, our Mishnah does continue to explain that hivricha basela afal pish ena far al gaba el shosha etzbaos mutar lahavi zera aleha. However, if you are propagating it through rock, even if there are like only three finger breadths worth of soil above it, then it's mutar to plant anything above it. And again, here clearly the idea is that obviously you cannot the roots of the foreign seeds won't be able to penetrate through the rock. So in a situation like that, perhaps you've buried your grapevine, it's a far way out from the vineyard, and you've placed several rocks on top of it to keep it flattened out and buried underground, and if you put fresh soil above the rock, then in a situation like that, you'll be able to plant foreign seed above the vine, because of course the roots will not be able to penetrate the vine. Our Mishnah concludes, HaKula Sheba Gefen Ein Moradin La Ela Min HaIkar HaSheni. So if there is a knee or a type of bend in the grapevine, we do not measure other than from the second trunk. So there's quite a bit of machlokas about exactly what the what we're talking about here, what this sort of knee joint is. There are many different mefarshim. The one that I think makes the most sense in context, though obviously people should feel free to look at other options, is that of Tosfos, who basically says that our Mishnah is in fact continuing to discuss propagation, and this is talking about a very specific type of propagation where once you have a very old vine, like a very old, very thick vine, when you plant that vine, right, when you push that vine underground to bury it with some dirt to somewhere in the middle to stimulate the growth of new roots, then the second growth center of the trunk becomes a point from which the distance of foreign plants must be measured. So again, if you picture I don't know if this will work for anybody, but if you picture like a sea serpent, sort of undulating in the water, right? You only see it top part of it, right, above the water. So the same idea here is apparently Tosafot felt that when you had very old, very thick vines to try and stimulate new root growth and perhaps save the vine itself, you would bury the thick vine under the earth. So you'd go up, right, sort of arch up like an upside down U, then you'd bury that in the ground, and then it would probably spring up again. So in a case where you've done that, then you count from where the new place has been, you know, the new part of the trunk has been buried for what you are allowed to plant around the vineyard. So just to summarize, our mission is talking about the idea of propagation, and actually this theme will continue in later Mishnahs as well, but the first mission is dealing with propagation, and should you be training a vine underground to stimulate new root growth, then you cannot plant anything over that grapevine, even if you're training the vine through a gourd or a clay pipe or some such. However, if you're training the vine under rock, then you are allowed to plant some other species of foreign plant on top of it, you know, above the rock, because the seed, the roots of the new seed won't be able to break through the rock to risk chelium. And then the Mishnah concludes, again, according to Tosos, with the idea of the special kind of propagation where you have a very old, very thick vine, and when you bury that, then you have to start counting from where the new growth is growing from, when the vine bends back down into the earth. So it gives you this a little bit further away than from the original source of the vine itself. Mishnah Bet of Perek Zayin continues with the same sort of theme of propagation and deals with a different set of circumstances. So Mishnah Bet starts, Hamavrich Shalosh Gefanim Vikarei Hem Nirim Rabbi Yezer bar Tzedek Omer, Im Yesh B'nei Ma'arba Amos V'ad Shmoneh, Hare Elu Mistarfot, V'im Lav Enam Mistarfot. So our Mishnah starts, if someone propagates three vines and the trunks are visible, so you have three grapevines planted in a row, okay, parallel, and then you take each of those plants and you train one of the vines underground and have its tip pop up elsewhere. So now you have three full trunks showing, and then you bury those three vines off of the trunk and let them pop up at the tip distance. In a situation like that, Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzedek says that if there is between them Arba Amos, okay, Ad Shmona, then they combine. If not, they don't combine. So Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzedek says that if you even though you could in theory argue that perhaps because they are coming from the original vines they don't combine, but in a situation where we have two rows of vines which result from the propagation of the original row, it will constitute a vineyard, okay, as long as they are properly spaced. So even though propagated vines are still connected with the parent vines, they can still combine to make a actual vineyard, according to Rabbi Eliezer Bar Tzedek. So again, just to be clear, if you picture standing and facing a field, and in the field are three grapevines, okay, just three grapevines, remember three grapevines alone does not make a vineyard, and you take a vine from each of these three grape plants, maybe is an easier way to, you know, you have three grape trunks planted there, and you take three vines from each one, and you bury them directly in front of you, so that they go underground, and then the end of the vine pokes up. Okay, again, in line with the original grapevine. So in a situation like that, if they are too close together, then they are going to constitute a vineyard, even though that vine is still attached to the original grape plant, and therefore one might think that it does not make a separate vineyard. In this situation, if they aren't far enough apart, they do combine to make a vineyard, according to Eliezer Bar Tzedek. Our Mishnah continues, Mishnah Bet continues, Geffen shev sha asura v'ena mikadeshet. So the Mishnah continues to say that if a vine which is dried out, right, the vine itself is dried out, is forbidden, but it is not condemned. So the idea here is there's a bit of a machlokes about whether a vine drying out is referring to a vine which is alive but it's lost all its leaves, right, in the middle of the winter, or whether it refers specifically to a completely dead vine. Okay, so the idea is that everybody agrees that doraisa, one can certainly plant over a vine which is completely dead. However, derabanan, it might have still been forbidden for you to do so. So the idea is again with the, in a vineyard, is it the grapevine, like, you know, many plants grows in the spring, in the fall, by the time the fall it loses its leaves, and the plant is viewed as dead. So, or, you know, it could be called dead. So in a situation like that, if you were either according to the idea that you have a grapevine which is still alive but looks dead because it's the winter, or you have a truly dead grapevine but is rabbinically prohibited to plant over it, So in situations like that, you can't plant over these vines. But if you do, it doesn't condemn the entire vineyard. If you remember from previous Mishnayos, there's the idea that if you intentionally plant in a vineyard, then you have to destroy a large number of the vines surrounding the forbidden plant. However, here it's usher to do it, but if you do do it, you don't have to destroy a large number of the grapevines around the foreign species. Our Mishnah continues with Rabbi Meir, who is now going to share a slightly different idea, but once we're on this topic, it makes sense. Rabbi Meir Omer, Af Tzemer Gefen Aser Ve'ino Mekadesh. So Rabbi Meir says that even cotton is Aser, but does not condemn. So again, there's the idea that one should not plant cotton near a vineyard. Remember, we discussed earlier, there are certain types of plants that, if planted intentionally in a vineyard, would not be a problem because they were not viewed as, something that would be beneficial to the vineyard. And the question is, what if some people do view it as beneficial to the vineyard? And that's something that we have to, that's something that the Mishnah discussed. So in a situation like this, it seems like Rabbi Meir viewed Tzemer Gefen, viewed cotton as one of these types of plants that fell into the gray area, where it was not crystal clear that if you planted it in a vineyard, you'd have to uproot all the vines around it. However, you shouldn't do it nonetheless. And our Mishnah concludes with a reference all the way back to Mishnah Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Bar Tzedek Omer, Mishmo, Af al Gabeh Gefen Aser Ve'ino Mekadesh. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek says in his own name that even above the vine planting is forbidden but does not condemn. So remember, in Mishnah Aleph, we had this idea that if you train a vine from a grape plant underground, you can't plant any foreign seed above the propagation branch, because we're afraid that the roots of the new seed will graft onto the roots of the vine branch. But what's interesting is Rav Elazar bar Tzedek explains that because there is a general isser of grafting by kilayim, there's not a specific isser of grafting by a key lime of a vineyard. So therefore, he's saying that even though he agrees in Mishnah Aleph that one cannot plant over a vine buried under the ground, if one does so, it does not result in that very special situation of having to destroy the vineyard, rather simply an isser of key lime.